So if you wanted to learn how to remove red eye, we wouldn't expect you to sit through a 6-hour DVD on how to use Photoshop. We'd want to go right to that part where we know how to remove the red eye. And that's exactly in the spirit of how this onboarding is constructed. And then after I remove the red eye, I might want to learn how to do a clone, or I might want to do a mask. But if I sit and watch the whole DVD, I won't know how to do anything, including remove red eye.
Hey, it's Liston with Inside Selling. I am here with Josh Braun. Josh, what is your day like today?
Liston, it is the best day I have had all day.
The best day all day. That's wonderful. Although it tells me nothing, but I'm glad.
Right. Thank you.
And I'm excited to have you here. Today we've been talking a lot about something that is a giant problem for people, and that is onboarding their new hires. In particular, new sales development reps or business development reps and AEs. And as we kind of dug into it, what we learned is I think the majority of people aren't actually at full productivity until 6 to 12 months on the job. And about 20% of people don't hit full productivity until after a year on the job, which seemed a little bit mind-blowing to me. So we know that this is a really, really big problem, and we've talked to a few VPs of sales at prominent companies about this issue, and we keep hearing it's a pain. What was your take on it, Josh, when you were hiring people?
Yeah, absolutely. This idea that people take a very long time to get productive has a bunch of different impacts on the organization. One in particular is the longer, obviously, you take to onboard an SDR, there's a real opportunity cost there in terms of lost revenue, lost meetings, and lost sales. The second big problem that we see from long onboarding times, and by the way, when we say long for SDRs, for clarity, and we're going to get into this, we're talking more than a day. So in the model that we're going to share with you on this podcast, SDRs are making cold calls on day one. So anything longer than a day, call it 2 days to be generous, we're considering to be too long of a ramp time for an SDR. And again, we'll get into some particulars as we go on. So the next sort of problem that we see also is when you take a long time, in addition to there being an opportunity cost, there's also this problem of a sort of bad taste in the SDR's mouth. When you first take a job, it's a very delicate time, and the SDR is determining if they really want to stay. And oftentimes, if you have him or her cooped up in a room for a week doing fire hose training, it can cause them to maybe give the job pause and potentially leave.
Yeah, which is a big issue. And then, of course, another one is during the time that you're doing training, think about all the time that's spent creating the training, updating the training, evolving the training, and actually delivering the training for, say, 2 weeks to 3 months is kind of a typical training time. All of that time is tied up with resources that could be doing other things for you. So you could potentially be hiring more AEs or SDRs to be out there selling rather than investing so much in training. So really, it's a problem that has many, many different facets. And I think there's a pretty clear cause for it, Josh. Now, one thing that we've been looking at is this company Drift, and they make a really good point about how times are changing and how the way people use tools are changing. And that's something that really affects salespeople as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If we take a look at SDRs, typically, 20s, mid-20s, early 20s, the millennials, the world is very different for them than it is when we typically do formal training. So these millennials are typically always on, they're always connected, they're in chat, they're in Facebook Messenger, they're Snap. Their phones are not ever far away from them. A lot of them sleep with them next to them on their nightstand. They're always on dinner tables or lunch tables. And then they come into these organizations oftentimes that have training programs that are very disconnected from this rapid fire way of learning and doing. And we put them oftentimes in a room where they have to watch PowerPoint presentations that could sometimes be 4, 5, 6 days by the time HR gets done and security gets done and sales gets done, and they're not doing. And so it's very disconnected from how they are used to consuming information, and it's very disconnected from how they're used to doing work and getting things done. These SDRs and the people that I've worked with, they want a little bit of information, they want to start doing stuff. So anytime you're seeing yourself in a room and you have a big PowerPoint presentation, again, disconnected from the way in which that generation learns. And I would argue anyone learns. I mean, if you've ever sat through any kind of long-winded training, and I've done these a fair amount of times, generally speaking, the next day, people don't remember most of what you talked about.
Right. In fact, we know that about 90% of all training is lost, and that happens within days or weeks of the training happening. So clearly there's a big problem with the way the training is delivered and also the amount of information and just this kind of drive to say, we need to teach them everything. They need to sit here and know our whole company's history, our entire sales process, everything all at once. And until they do, they're not ready to sell. And, you know, that's where we differ quite a bit. There's an alternative to doing that. And that alternative is to just give people the 20% of the things that they need to do 80% of the time in order to really, really excel at the job, right? Just like anything that you're doing, it doesn't need to be so complicated. And the majority of the information is only going to be for kind of fringe cases or long tail events, to use internet speak. So we really want to focus the way this training is delivered. And what we've come up with, Josh, is this 3-page plan that can be delivered in a day and get people calling on the first day. So let's talk about that a little bit. So on the first page, and I want to go through this as if you're holding this document, right? So on the first page, we're going to talk about product, and we're not going to talk about all the technical details of the product there. What are we going to say, Josh?
Yeah, so with regards to the product from an SDR's perspective, I think it's important to note the learning and the onboarding is not just a little moment in time. To your point, Liston, we want to give them 20% of the knowledge to get going on day one. And then we'll pepper or we'll scaffold in some other stuff as we go along the way, but we want to get momentum going. So the first page of that document, when we're talking about product training, we're not talking about a 50-page thing about your product. We're talking about how your product makes your customer's life better after they start using it. And that's the product training for an SDR. So what's life like before and what's like after? This gives the SDR a big picture of how you serve your customers. By way of example, if we're looking at an infomercial and we're looking at one of those famous potato gadgets that helps you make French fries better, the before would be the black and white picture of the person in the kitchen peeling the potato and cutting their fingers and with a sad face. And the after would be a color picture of the person making the perfect French fries and half the time with no cuts on their fingers. What is that before and after for you? And how can you communicate that literally on one page? You could do that with a graphic, or you could do that with a story. But the thought is it's just one page and you're limited to one page. You're confined to one page. You can only have, remember, this whole onboarding process is a 3-page document. So one of the pages is about the before and after story of your service or product.
Yeah, and it really should paint a picture, right? So the way this is going to be used is when people are either on the phone or maybe even sending emails, they should start to be able to, in a very simple way, receive the story of the before and after, and then it should be simple enough where they can retell it, right? So we don't want a full page of text. That would be the wrong approach to this, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we're looking for an elegant way. Remember, we're looking to zoom out here. Remember the 20-80 rule. We're looking to give them a big picture of how life is better before and after. So Intercom does a really great example of this. If you can imagine the page, their one page, is a line down the middle of the page. And for those of you that don't know, Intercom sells a tool that allows people to do support better. so customer support, in a more effective and efficient way. And on the left-hand side of the screen is a big, long chat of between a customer service representative and a customer. And the customer is asking all sorts of questions about how come I can't do this and how come I can't do that. And the chat is like asking all types of questions about, well, who are you? How did you log in? Where did you click? What did you do? Giving all sorts of information about the customer. And it's a long, lengthy process. The chat goes on for about 15 or 20 back and forths. That's the before. It's a bad experience for the customer. It's not great for the customer service representative. It takes a long time to resolve. And then the after, on the right-hand side, the intercom representative knows who the customer is. They pop up their information, and they're able to help resolve their question much quicker because they know exactly what version of the product that they're on and know exactly how to point them in the right direction. That at a very high level is how Intercom makes their life better. And it's literally a document with some speech bubbles on the left-hand side of what the chat was like before. And then Intercom being able to pull up the customer's data record and say, ah, they're on the light plan. And therefore, instead of having access to 7 reports, they only have access to 5, which is why they can't create the other 2 reports.
Yeah, and another example is, of course, Basecamp.com. On their homepage, they don't talk at all about exactly what the tool does. It's all about the problem that they solve. And the subheader says, all growing businesses run into the same fundamental problems, hair on fire, buried under email, stuff everywhere. The good news, Basecamp solves them. So that would kind of be the before statement. And then, of course, after, you're going to want to paint a picture of what it would look like for the person to use Basecamp or whatever it is. And it's not just what are the features of the product, it's how is my life different? And that's really what we want to focus on in these before and after statements. So page 2, Josh, what's on page 2? It's going to be a script, but it's not just a script. What we really want to focus on are these 2 or 3, what we like to call trigger events, which comes from jobs to be done. And what are these trigger events and how can people use them?
Yeah, so page 1 is the product, now the product sheet, you know, before and after. Page 2, the primary function of an SDR is cold calling, right? So that's what they're going to be doing a lot. So page 2 is the cold call script. And the cold call script is going to focus on 1 or 2 problems that you help people solve. And a problem isn't app retargeting. A problem isn't project management software. So for instance, for us, our problem, one of the problems we help people with is helping SDR teams set more meetings per month. So my problem statement would be, hey, I'm just seeing if you're open to an idea to help you set more ideas, or set more meetings per month. That's a problem that I can help people with. I also might say, are you struggling with SDRs that are setting less than 14 meetings per month? That's a problem that I might be able to help someone with. You know, for a company like Rippling, if you take a look at their homepage, which is also another great site, you know, do you spend a lot of time, you know, with new hires going through these big, long checklists? Are you open to a different perspective on how you can eliminate that? So you have to come up with your 1 or 2, no more than 2, problem statements. And those get turned into literally a 2-sentence cold call script that the SDR is going to be able to commit to memory before they come to work. So be very clear on those 1 or 2 problem statements, not features or benefits, but the 2 or 3 problems that you help your prospects solve.
So I'll give an example of that. On the Drift.com website, Drift is a on-site chat tool that also integrates into how sales works. Their subhead is automatically turn your website traffic into qualified sales meetings. So if I were on a cold call and I wanted to turn that into a problem statement, I might ask a question like, hey, this is Liston from Drift. Just curious, are you seeing any problem with converting some of your website traffic into highly qualified sales meetings? Is that what we're talking about,
Josh?
And that
is perfect because anything that happens after that gets us to page 3.
And tell me right. What's on page 3, sir.
That's exactly, you know, page 3 is the 8 or 9 objections people always have. And what's nice about that is we always know they're coming, and so we can be prepared to have them scripted and written out in advance that the SDR can actually memorize before they come into work. And there's only literally, you're limited to 8, 3 of which can be product related questions. And those mostly come up with AEs versus BDRs, but you could have two or three product-related questions that happen again, you know, 80% of the time. And the rest of them are typical objections prospects might have. So after Liston delivered that problem statement on a cold call, I might say, who is this? What is this about? Can you send me some information? Those are the typical objections. And what we do is we script those out using a specific framework that helps diffuse those objections and get the conversation moving forward or determining that's not a fit. And again, the SDR is expected to commit those to memory and internalize them, make the language their own, so that when they come in day one, we can actually start role-playing it. So again, page one is the product before and after. Page two are these problem statements written in a cold call script fashion with openers. Literally, it's three or four sentences. And then page three are the two or three product-related FAQs and the seven or so objections people typically have with a specific framework for how we diffuse those objections.
So that's pretty much all people need to know to do their one-day onboarding, right? I think one thing that we should add, though, Josh, is a little bit of the pre-work. So let's say you totally agree with what we're saying. You put together your three pages, page one about product, page two, your cold call script, page three, objection handling. One thing that you can do now that you have that together is when you hire someone new, you can give it to them before they actually start. Start to memorize this, get familiar with it. We're going to do some role playing on day one, but you're also going to need to have them ready to actually pick up the phone, right? And so it's this idea of what do I do next? Not spending time on figuring out how to spend my days or what to do, but actually just doing. So what's one step people can take in order to make sure that that's taken care of on the first day of a prospect's, of a new hire's job?
You're exactly right. So this document is given to the new hire and they're asked to, you know, commit it to memory, make it their own before they get to work. You have a little bit of pre-work as well as a sales leader in that you have to load in a list for them of about, 40, 50 prospects, typically tier three, so they can get their feet wet. So they have a list to actually call, because what's gonna end up happening is after you do this role play in the morning, they're gonna be expecting, remember, our promise is day one. Day one, we want the reps to start being effective, and we mean effective, we mean on the phones, making calls, and hopefully setting meetings on day one. So in order for that to happen, your pre-work is gonna be to be able to create this list. Now you might be saying, yeah, but we want them to create the list, and that's fine, but we're not doing that on day one. Remember, we're gonna scaffold this stuff in. So now that we've got them up to speed and they're making calls for a couple days, now we're ready to give them another little chunk of information, which might be page four in like maybe 4 or 5 days. And page four is, here's the process of how to be able to create your own lists. It's the approach of, if I wanted to learn how to remove red eye, and here you go, Liston, here's your little blurb for the beginning of the podcast. Ready? Here we go. I'll give it to you nice and clean. So if you wanted to learn how to remove red eye, we wouldn't expect you to sit through a 6-hour DVD on how to use Photoshop. We'd want to go right to that part where we know how to remove the red eye. And that's exactly in the spirit of how this onboarding is constructed. And then after I remove the red eye, I might want to learn how to do a clone, or I might want to do a mask. But if I sit and watch the whole DVD, I won't know how to do anything, including remove red eye.
Well, Josh, I think you nailed the opener. That was wonderful.
I know you're always looking for that. You're like, Josh, it takes me so long to find the opener. So now we're just going to say this is the opener.
All right. Well, it's done. And I think that's a good kind of synopsis of what we're really trying to do. It's not to teach everything. It's just to teach the main things. And so, Josh, tell me, you know, one thing someone might be thinking as they get to this point in the show, they may be thinking, well, okay, so I got people on the phones, but is that really everything that I need to train them on? Is that all encompassing? Is my job for onboarding and training done? What would you say to that?
Yes, so remember, guys, learning is a process. And we know that when we dump a bunch of stuff on someone all at once, it's ineffective. The research shows and supports that. You've probably been in training like that. So when we say one day onboarding, we don't mean that their learning is done. We mean that they're starting to be productive and get some wins, and it feels good because I'm doing. Remember at the beginning of this podcast, we talked about the millennial generation and how they want to learn things quickly and start doing things. We don't want to lose them. So we get them doing things, 2 or 3, 4 days of calling, and then we layer in list building, and then we layer in cold emailing. We layer this stuff in. But it's never over. The learning journey and being able to self-improve is never over. There's always ways to be able to optimize performance and through learning.
And you know, one thing we can offer anyone listening to this is to head over to salesdna.co/onboard, and you can download the template that we described on this podcast so you can implement your 3-page 1-day onboarding. And we will send it over to you happily. And we would absolutely love to entertain any questions you have, or even take your strongest objection about why 1-day onboarding could never work. We want to hear from you. Josh, you're going to handle all the hate mail though, right?
Luckily I have page 3 of my onboarding document, and I am prepared for at least 8 of those objections.
Well, that would be meta, wouldn't it? That we construct the download to deal with the objections that we'll get from the download.
Right. And shameless plug, if you want our help constructing your version of this document for your specific SDRs in your company, we'll be delighted to do that with you. Right, Liston?
Absolutely. We would be delighted to do that with you. Josh takes Visa, MasterCard, but not American Express or Diners Club, just so you know.
That's correct. Liston, you've said it all, my friend.
Love it. Thanks, Josh.